No, God is allowing you to breathe air and take up space on his earth for a reason. So we need to be about the job of doing what God calls us to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of I'm Still Here. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of I'm Still Here.
We've started a two-week series on discipleship. And as we've been looking at discipleship, one of the things that we talked about last week is the reasons that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And very convincing evidence, very convincing proof that makes us a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason that I'm doing this, this two-week series, is actually in preparation for our discipleship classes that are coming up in April. And so I'm encouraging people, if you just got saved, maybe you've been saved for a while, you've never been discipled, that this is an opportunity for you to be built up in your faith. This is an opportunity for you to grow in Christ as far as becoming a disciple and understand what a disciple of Christ is. So the classes will begin the first Sunday in April. Brother Stan, I saw him here. Brother Stan Pratt, if you stand up real quick. He's our discipleship minister here. We thank God for this brother. And if you want to get into class, we encourage you to see him. All right? Amen. And there are others that are help him too. So I know that he would give them credit, Brother Lang Jeffries and also Sister Sheila Bird, that they help out. But what we are doing with this whole idea of discipleship, all right, is raising the bar, okay? We are raising the bar now. You know, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, it's one thing to be a Christian, a nominal Christian, and you can get into heaven that way, right? You can get into heaven, but I don't think that you want to get into heaven just being a Christian. I think you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we talked last week because we have these signs up around the sanctuary. What is a disciple? It's an emulator. It's one who wants to be like Christ. What is a disciple? It's a student who wants to study about Christ. It's a servant who wants to serve Christ. It's a convert, one who has been converted to the ways of Christ, and is an apostle. And that is one who has been sent out. So we are raising the bar. One of the things that I like to do, and I don't know if you've ever got a chance to do this, but from midnight to about 5 o'clock in the morning on WQED, Channel 13, the educational station, they have some good they have some excellent programs. Now, like many of you, I'm not up during that time, but what I do, I tape them because there are some good educational programs that come on, especially dealing with health and things of that nature. So I was watching one of my recorded programs one day, and they had this guy, he was a doctor from Cleveland Clinic, and he wrote a book. And he was speaking to a group of people, and you could tell most of the people in the group were up in age. And you know, one of the things that he said he was talking about a fitness test. You know, it was some very simple things. I mean, it was, like I said, very educational. But one of the things that he said, you should be able to do to test your fitness, right? One of the things that you should be able to do to test your fitness is to sit down in a chair, and as you sit down in the chair, to be able to stand up without holding on or pushing off or grabbing a hold of something. He was talking to a group that was, a little bit advanced in years. But he said that's one of the fitness things. So, I'm sharing that with my trainer, right, that I saw this program. And I'm telling him that, according to what this doctor at Cleveland Clinic said, He said, if you can sit down in a chair and stand up out of the chair without holding on or grabbing or pushing off, he said, you are generally a physically fit individual. And he said, oh, that sounds good. He said, but the real test is if you get down on the floor and then get up. I said, look, man, now you done gone to meddling, man. I said, we was all right. I said, we was all right. We was just talking about the chair. Now you talking about going down on the floor. That's a whole nother level. When you go down on the floor, I don't know about you, but when I get down on the floor, man, sometimes I got to think about getting down and I got to think about getting up. It's more than a notion to get down on the floor. So I like the doctor from Cleveland Clinic. He had a good fitness test. All right, so the point is that, I was pretty satisfied. I was feeling pretty good about myself, right? I was sticking my chest out because I can get up out of the chair without holding on or pushing off. But what did he do? He raised the bar, right? He raised the bar. So now that's my next objective, right? So if y'all hear about Pastor Glaze being in the hospital, you'll know it because he was having a hard time getting up off the floor. So as we talk about discipleship today, we're talking about raising the bar. And I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, we want to look at verses 22 and... Well, actually, let's start in 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide here in the flesh is more needful for you. And so I want to speak to you on this subject, and we're going to get into the idea of discipleship, but I want to speak to you on this subject. I'm still here. I'm still here. This is kind of a personal journey for me as I open up this sermon today and as I share. Growing up, we all have friends. We all have people that we are close to. And there were several individuals that I was close to. I'll give the name because these were my running buddies when I grew up. James Beacham, Van Hicks, William Probst, James Austin. These are guys that I hung up with. And these guys began to leave this earth. I began to hear about them passing away. And, growing up with these guys, oftentimes I'll be driving along and I'll think about them, right? And I'll think about William Probst, we call him Migo, right? I'll think about James Beacham, we call him Beach. Van Hicks, we call him Shaft. We hung out together and I'll be driving along and all of a sudden I'll think, I'm still here. These guys are gone. And I'm still here. Same age, they're gone. But I'm still here. And then last week, I was on my way home from church, and I got a text about one of my friends who was the one who was the instrumental in doing our class reunion every year. And I got a text that he passed away. And again, the thought came to me, I'm still here. I'm still here. My brother died at the age of 54. He had a heart attack Thanksgiving morning. And yet and still, I'm still here. My father had 10 brothers and sisters, and all of them died. Most of them died in their late 50s, and a couple of them made it into their early 60s. And here I am getting ready to turn 62. And I said to myself, I'm still here. Now, as we think about that, I don't know where you find yourself on the journey of life, but I'm sure that all of us have lost partners that have grown, or most of us have lost partners that have grown up. Maybe we've lost a brother or sister that grew up with us. But you're still here. Just think about for a second somebody that was precious to you that you lost. And we can think about aunts and uncles and mother and father but let's bring it a little bit closer to our age where we're at. Think about that for a moment. That person is no longer here. And it blows my mind to think that their life was terminated, some in their 40s, and I've lived 20 more years past that. Well, I mean, their life on this earth, and I don't know about all of them if they knew Christ or not, but basically their life on this earth, boom, is over. And I lived 5, 10, 15, 20 more years than they did. And then I began to think about the fact that I'm still here means one thing, that God has something for me to do. As a pastor, people will come and they will be at death's door and have a heart attack, have some serious health problem. And then they'll come to me and say, man, you know what? God spoke to my heart and God told me I need to get right and I need to serve him. And they come in and they're like Alka-Seltzer Baptist. They fizzle for a little while and then they go out. You don't see them anymore. And yet and still at one point they felt that the tug of God, that God got them out of something. God touched their health, that God delivered them from a dangerous situation. He brought them through. And they felt a special obligation to God, but only last for a little while. So I'm come this morning to challenge us with something that will motivate us, that will give us purpose, that will give us direction in life, is that we find out what God would have us to do, and we be about the business of doing what God has called us to do. You're still here for a reason. You know, God is allowing you to breathe air and take up space on his earth for a reason. So we need to be about the job of doing what God calls us to do. At the close of life, the question will not be how much you have gotten, but how much you've given. Not how much you won, but how much you've done. Not how much you've saved, but how much you've sacrificed. It will be how much you have loved and served, not how much you were honored. I like what Martin Luther says. Martin Luther says, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. My, my, my. If that's the kind of religion that we have with this life that God has given us, it's a religion that's worth nothing. If you look in your notes that were passed out, we introduce our passage today, Philippians chapter 1, by saying, in this passage, Paul realizes that he will be going to trial shortly. However, he is uncertain of his outcome. Despite the uncertainty, his expectation was that his incarceration, as he says in verse 19, will turn to his salvation. Now, many commentators have said a lot of things about what that means, but mainly it boils down to the fact that he will have an opportunity to give his testimony and vindicate the ministry that God has given him. And then look at verse 20. Paul says, according to my earnest expectation, and my hope, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. The phrase earnest expectation comes from a Greek word that means to extend the neck to capture a quick look at something down the road. And so in other words, the perfect example of what Paul says, his earnest expectation. How many people have ever been waiting for the bus? Right? And a lot of times, what are you doing? That's what that Greek word means. It means to stretch the neck and look down the road and expecting something to happen. And Paul said, I'm expecting. He said, my earnest expectation as I look ahead, he says, he looks forward to his trial date with great anticipation because he was confident that Christ would empower him and he would not be ashamed in any way. In the meantime, Paul was still here and he looked forward to the opportunity to serve Christ. So we want to talk about three things this morning. I'm going to hit them and we'll be done. The first thing that I want to say, Paul said that I'm still here to exalt Christ. I'm still here to exalt Christ. Look what he said in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my death. Paul said that whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, I want my life to glorify the Lord. I want to exalt Christ in my life. So let me ask you the question. Are you exalting Christ with your life? Does your life reflect an individual who exalts Christ? If you talk to any Muslim, they exalt Allah. If you talk to any Buddhist, they exalt Buddha. If you talk to other people of other religions, they exalt their God. So my question this morning, my brothers and sisters, are you exalting Jesus Christ? Is he the glorification of your life? Have you pointed others to Jesus Christ? Paul said, with my life, with the fact that I'm still here, I could have been dead, as the song writer said, I could have been dead and gone. No food and no clothes. But I'm still here. Since I'm still here, I'm going to exalt Christ. Look at Psalm 115, verses 17 and 18. It says this. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore praise the Lord. That as long as I have breath in my life, I'm going to praise the Lord. That's what Paul said, that you're still here. You are left here for a reason. And one of the reasons that you are left here, according to Paul, is to exalt the Savior. Look what he says in Luke 19, verse 40. He answered, Jesus answered, said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, we all know the song, right? Ain't no rock. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I have breath, I'm gonna glorify the Lord. So that's the first thing that we want to say. The second thing that we want to point out is this. I'm still here not only to exalt Christ, but I'm also here to live for Christ. I'm not only gonna exalt him, but while I'm here, I'm going to live for him. Look what he says in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Wow. He said, when I leave this life, he said, man, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That when I die, I'm going to a place where the weary are at rest and the wicked cease from troubling. I'm going to a place where my father, my mother, my loved ones have gone before. Man, that's going to be gain. He said, for me to die is gain. But, for me to live is Christ. And my life is all about Jesus Christ. I've shared the illustration before. Many of you who grew up during my era, one of the famous late night talk shows was the Johnny Carson Show. Right? And Johnny Carson had a sidekick by the name of Ed McMahon. And Ed McMahon would come out every night before Johnny hit the stage. And Ed McMahon would say, "Here's Johnny." Da-da-da-da-da. And Johnny Carson would come out. Right? So our life, if we live for Christ, our life should be a continual testimony of glorifying the Lord, of letting people see Christ in us, and so that when we live this life, when people look at us, that they should say, "There's Jesus." The Bible says about the disciples that that people took note that they had been with the Lord. And as I think about our life, that if we live our life, when we're done here on this earth, God will take us home. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Then Revelation 11 and verse 7. In Revelation, we have two witnesses during the tribulation period who are witnessing for the Lord. And they're able to do great things. They're able to call down fire from heaven. They're able to stop rain. They're able to do all kinds of miracles. And nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. And then it says in Revelation 11 in verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast ascended out of the bottomless pit and shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall kill them." You can't do anything if God has a purpose, if God has a plan for your life, nobody can mess with you. Nobody can touch you until God is finished. It ain't over until God says it over. And so the fact that you're still here means that you haven't finished your testimony yet. And I'm here to tell you today, saints, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I'll just say this, that I would say that I love to watch. I got some TV programs that I love to watch. So I ain't going to make any bones about it. But if your purpose in life is, if that's your purpose in life, man, you cheating yourself and you cheating God. God still has a testimony. God still has something for you to do. And I'm going to propose, and I said all that to say this, to lead up to this point, that Paul said that he would exalt Christ, he would live for Christ, and that while he had breath, while he had his testimony, he was going to do what Christ called him to do. And the next thing that we see is that, next slide, there you go. He said, "I'm still here to disciple others for Jesus Christ." He said, "That's my purpose." Now, notice, what was the heart of Jesus? What was the heart of Jesus? It was discipleship. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus' heart was discipleship. Before he's getting ready to go back to heaven, he didn't say build a great choir. He didn't say build a great Bible institute. He didn't say build a great attendance and following in a congregation. What was the thing that he said? He said, "Make disciples." He said, "That's my heart. That's my passion, is to make disciples." And look at Paul as we continue to read.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of I'm Still Here. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I'm Still Here, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, "I'm Still Here." That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, "I'm Still Here." Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.